Before we begin today's episode, I wanted to ask you a question. If building a personal brand is such a pivotal part of our business success, why do so many of us find it so uncomfortable? The reality is, attention has become the most scarce commodity. And if you can't grab the attention of your ideal audience or customers, it's game over. So how can you get to be more known, liked, and trusted in your industry if the very idea of putting yourself out there terrifies you, or that you don't want to be spending millions of dollars in marketing each year? The answer is, you need to become the spotlight in your industry. Over the years, I've had the pleasure to interview some of the most inspiring, purpose-driven, and successful individuals who've defined success on their own terms. And I've identified five principles that they live by. And it turns out that you can absolutely live by these principles too, to help you grow your business, your impact, and your influence. Now, if you'd like to go and take the test, it's free. It takes under 3 minutes, and you can get it at www.becomethespotlight.com. What I love about this is it's going to give you a quick snapshot overview in the five different areas of your life, of your business, that you need to improve right now in order to better engage and enroll your ideal customers with your message, your story, and your mission. So if you're tired of being the best kept secret and you want to do it in a way that feels congruent to who you are and how you show up in the world, take the test today. www.becomethespotlight.com. I can't wait to see what results you get. Hi, and welcome back to the Unconventionalist Podcast. I'm your host, Mark DeRoos, and this is the show about what it's really like to turn your message into a movement. Now, today's episode is a special episode because I actually share a big announcement that I've been holding on for quite some time. And I originally had recorded this conversation with today's guest as part of a kind of a private announcement that we're going to do, part of our communities. But then the conversation felt so rich and so real that it would be such a shame not to share it with you and to make you part of this journey too. Because if I'm going to be true to who I am and what I stand for, then I've also got to walk the talk and be willing to face emotional exposure and vulnerability. And so I make in this podcast like a big announcement that I've been wrestling with and not unsure about. But thanks to today's guest, Lindsay Gull, who is the incredible entrepreneur behind the Podcasting for Business community, and who also ran the Podcasting for Business Awards 2021, and who's building a podcasting agency to help people launch their podcast, but also to produce their podcasts. So she brings a ton of wealth to the conversation. I dug a little bit more into her background story, into how she went from being an HR stuck on the M25, listening to podcasts, to suddenly have this crazy idea of launching her first podcast and becoming a coach, to pivoting, to creating and going all in on podcasting because of all the questions from people. And it's just an incredible reminder of a few things, but one of them is the importance of clarity with purpose and also the ability to reach out for help because no impact is an island. So without further ado, I give you, ladies and gentlemen, the one and only Lindsay Gould. Lindsay, great to connect and thanks for making out. We were just saying offline jokingly that it's 22 degrees here, but it's not so hot where you are. And no, I didn't say that to rub it in, but you're wearing a jumper, right?
I'm wearing a jumper. It's lovely and bright outside, but it's really, really cold. Very cold.
Yeah, lovely. So look, Lindsay, our paths crossed when I saw a message on Instagram about apply to win an award for the podcasting for Business Awards 2021. And I thought, you know, what the heck? And I applied and was shortlisted, nominated, and then eventually won Best Interview Podcast category. And so we got to connect and exchange messages. And then you graciously invited me on your podcast. We got to hang out. And then I had this thing in the back of the mind that we'll talk about in a second. But before we get there, I'm just really curious to ask you a little bit more about you. Like, first of all, when did you get into podcasting? Like, what do you remember what your first podcast was that you listened to?
Yeah, I do. So when I think about it, so I've been listening to podcasts for years and years and years, but I got really seriously into them, I'd say 2013.
Okay.
And yeah, I was listening to business podcasts. And the reason I started listening to them, because I was in a corporate job and I was constantly on the road. So I was constantly listening to podcasts the time. So that's how I got into them.
Yeah, love it. Do you remember a particular show that you used to listen to?
I listened to Amy Porterfield's Marketing Made Easy because that's what I wanted to do. I wanted to get out of the job that I was in and start my own business. And Yeah, it was the very first one I listened to. And also Pat Flynn.
Yeah. Smart Passive Income,
SPI. Yep. So it was all SPI. Those sorts of podcasts that I listened to at the start, yep. You know, helping me on this journey to sort of leaving the job that I was in to starting my own business.
Yeah.
I was hooked back then.
And when you thought about launching a business, did you already have in mind that you wanted to launch a podcasting kind of agency-ish hybrid?
Absolutely not. No, 100% not. So my background was HR, training, mentoring. So I've been a coach mm-hmm. for over 20 years. I loved it. I won't go into the whole ins and outs of why and when, because it's a big, long story. But eventually I left in 2015 and I wanted to start a coaching business. Just wanted to help people escape the jobs they were in, start businesses of their own. And then because I'd been listening to podcasts all the time, I thought to myself, I'm going to start a podcast when I start my business because I know how much it had helped me.
Yeah.
And then it just snowballed from there. It was like everybody was questioning, you know, how do you do this? What mic have you got? Where do you do it? How do you make money from it? You know, how do you get more downloads? I was getting more and more questions about podcasting than about coaching.
Your business, yeah.
Yeah. So I started to make this pivot because I just naturally, I absolutely loved it. I loved it. I've always been quite techie. So I loved it. And I got to the stage where I was about 50-50 doing podcasting work, business coaching. Mm-hmm. And then it was about 2.5 years ago, I made the full on plunge into purely working with people on podcasts. And then the agency was born and it's just been growing since then.
Yeah, that's mad because I remember when you first popped on my radar, I thought that's a really clear positioning and it's so needed. It's kind of this idea around helping people specifically launch podcasts to help position their businesses and help them grow their businesses. But also, like, we've also got this other business part of us that we're not just going to help you launch it, but we can actually create it and help you kind of edit it and all that kind of stuff. So when did you launch your podcast? Was it 2000?
My first podcast was in 2017.
What was it called? Do you remember the name?
Oh, Escape the 9 to 5.
Yeah. Okay.
When I think, you know, I think back and it was so cringy and horrible and rubbish. And yeah, it was just one of those, I'm going to start a podcast and just banged it out there and hope for the best. It was shocking, quite frankly. Yeah. But I love the fact that, you know, I've got that out there and, you know, it's okay to show. Yeah. How it developed and how things changed.
I love it. And it's all, I think it's also a great reminder for people to go back and say, hey, listen to what I sounded like, listen to my show. Like I wasn't where I am now back then, you know. This, it's like Ari Glass talks about this, the host of This American Life. He talks about the creative gap. There's a beautiful video that people should go and check out on YouTube called The Gap by Ari Glass. And he talks about how we have this expectation of where our talent is there. Like our expectation we want to be is here, but our reality is there. Yeah. And that gap can sometimes kill creativity. So I get that you just pull the trigger and win.
Yeah.
And so you're doing this 9 to 5, you're coaching. And this is really interesting. I'm actually, this is just selfishly curious. Because everyone will find themselves at some point in a crossroad, whether that feels like you've got one foot on the harbor and the other foot in a boat kind of streaming off, or you're at a crossroad. You had a decision to make at one point around, do I pursue this podcasting journey or do I continue this coaching and kind of just write a blog or help a few friends on their podcast? What was that like and what helped you make the decision?
Well, it's so interesting because I've always been the sort of person who just dives into things and thinks about it later. But the one decision that I really took ages to make was leaving my corporate job and moving into business. So everything else in my life, it was really easy. I'll just make a decision, go for it. But that was the one thing. And I think it's because I'd invested literally thousands and thousands and thousands of pounds in my education. You know, I was pretty much at the top of my field in my profession and I felt like I was turning my back on something. So it was the one thing I really sort of hesitated over. And then when I eventually left my job, the one thing that made me go, right, that's it, I'm doing it. My husband retrained as a teacher. And in 2015, this was, he started his new job in the September. At the end of that first week, we were having dinner and I said to him, so did you make the right decision? Have you enjoyed it? And he just said, oh my God, you know, I should have done this years ago. And as much as I felt happiness for him, honestly, I was just completely jealous because he just had purpose and I didn't feel like I had that anymore in my job. So I decided there and then, that's it, I'm just doing it. So it was that sort of thing that pushed me over the edge to make me sort of really feel, I guess, more scared about staying on the path that I was on than taking the leap into the unknown, really.
Yeah.
So I just did that.
Yeah. And also, I think it takes a lot of courage, right, to like let go of that identity, because if you're top of your game and in HR and, you know, people, and you're probably used to like a comfort zone or the zone of cold.
Oh my God. Yeah. I mean, I had a team, I had people everywhere, I had finance people. And then I was suddenly all of those things, wearing all of those hats for myself. So massively. And
that's
a huge shock. Lots of the things that I talk about now and a lot of the work that I'm moving into doing as well is all about that fear and that courage and taking that leap and taking those first steps. Because even if you're unsure, I always believe, Mark, that if you take those first couple of steps, you get pretty quick, you very quickly get very clear whether you're on the right path anyway. So I'm a big believer in that.
No, I love that. And I used to call it like the niching roundabout. So people get stuck on this niching roundabout going like, I don't know which destiny I want to go, like Italy or Paris. I'm like, well, go and check it out. And if you don't like it, you come back, you take the roundabout, you go somewhere else. Like, don't get stuck for too long and just go down the road. So you go on the path, and I'm curious, at what point in your journey do you, because we know Shah Wasmund, and I know that you've worked with her, and she's your mentor now. Like, at what point did Shah come into your life? Because she's a character and a ball of energy.
She certainly is. So I started working with my coach, who was Ruth Cudsey, at the start of 2017. And at the time, Ruth's coach was Shah. So I was introduced to Shah a few years ago now, and I've sort of been in a few of her different programs. And then I worked with Ruth for a good few years. I was in her mastermind, worked with her one-to-one. And then Ruth was having a chat with me last year, and she said, you know what? I think you'd be really suited to come and join us in the cartel. So it sounds so dodgy, the cartel. But Shah has this mastermind called the cartel, and it's sort of invite only. So it's really cool and sort of under the radar. And Ruth was chatting to me about it, you know, come and join the cartel with us. So I had a chat with Shah, and I joined her at the end of last year. But I've known her for about three or four years now.
Okay. And how's that been then, to get like the mentorship of Shah and having the guidance from somebody else who's been it through there? What's that been like?
It's just amazing. Working with both Ruth and then Shah as well. So my business looks completely different to the one I had in my mind when I was stuck on the M25 listening to podcasts. completely different. It sort of opened up sort of the art of the possible.
What's different about it? What's different about it?
Well, it's just a lot bigger than I thought that I would be doing. So I had this dream of sort of just working for myself, consulting, being a coach, not really having a team. But now, you know, I've got podcast editors, I've got designers, I've got an online business manager, I've got VAs, and I've got, you know, I've got this team behind me that are incredible, and people who rely on me, which is amazing. And the agency, which I never thought I'm going to have a media agency when I started this. I just never thought that would be the case. So yeah, it's been incredible. They've both opened me up to things that I didn't think were possible and different ways of working. So it's been an incredible journey. Loved it.
I love that. And so I want to talk about the awards. So like, at what point does the idea of setting up an award ceremony specifically for podcasts, for business, take us back to that moment where you kind of like maybe the seeds planted, to obviously the short version of the journey to where we are today?
Yeah, sure. Well, it was before COVID, definitely. Yeah. I thought, I want to do an awards, and I want it to be this big celebration. We're all in person and we're all having fun. And then COVID hit, and I thought, well, that's going to be put on the back burner for a while. But then as the lockdown progressed, I thought, you know what, I'm just going to do it anyway. So again, I spoke to Shah, and Shah had run awards in her past in another business that she ran a few years back. And she was talking to me about it on one of our one-to-one calls. And I thought, you know what? I think I can do this. And the ethos behind it was that, yes, there are loads of podcast awards out there and they're all amazing. But the vast majority of them focus on the big guy, you know, the people with huge teams behind them, lots of sponsorship, but I wanted to focus on the, you know, the indie podcaster, the person who's doing it all themselves or with a small team. It was to celebrate them and to really motivate people and inspire them to either keep going with the show that they have or to inspire other new people into the industry, particularly getting women into the industry as well and getting their voices heard.
I love you. You put a post recently on Instagram about, come on, ladies, let's not have another social media platform like Clubhouse being dominated by men. It was like less than 17% of the highest accounts were women. Yeah, and so I just want to speak to that because I really agree. I agree with you. There's some amazing, phenomenal podcast awards out there. And I'd enter them and then I'd see who would be shortlisted. And I thought, well, I can't compete against that. Like these are like major broadcasting and whatever. So I did feel that. So that's why I thought it was a really great way of just inviting everyone. Mm. And we talked about this on your podcast. You know, people can go and listen to it. But I remember when I first saw your award, instead of like trying to hoard it and not tell anyone about it because I wanted to try, I went and actually shared it with the community, shared it with everyone, and people applied. And, you know, we've had people come and runner-ups and shortlisted. And so that was amazing. And so did that supersede your expectation, or what was the experience like to go from, again, this idea, conversation, suddenly you're implementing and you're on the night and this is now rolling? Like, what was that like? Take us back then.
Oh, it was amazing. So in my mind, I anticipated a few hundred people getting involved. Less than 1,000, definitely. But it was literally thousands and thousands and thousands and thousands of people who ended up voting for people, entering their own podcasts in the awards. It definitely, can you hear the dogs in the background?
Yeah, it's good. It's all part of the layer. I like it. It's part of the tapestry, the rich tapestry of podcasting.
So they just started. I knew they would at some point. They've just come from a walk.
I don't mind at all. I think this gives the real. This is what it's like. You run a business from home. You've got dogs barking.
It's what we're talking about at the end of the day. The reality of it. So
you had thousands of people.
So the awards definitely superseded where I thought that they would go. I mean, I didn't think people would be that interested in an online awards, but I think it just hit the right moment in time. People got really behind it. They were sharing it and it was just super fun. And then I'd been to an online event about 3 or 4 months before we did the award ceremony. A lady called Janet Murray, she did an online award ceremony, and Ian Anderson Gray produced the event for the day. And I thought, this is so cool how he's doing it, you know, using all this fantastic technology that we've got at our disposal. I'm gonna contact him. So I contacted Ian, and then he produced it for me, because the last thing I wanted to do on the night was worry about all the tech.
Yeah,
I know you had a technical glitch. Which is so funny. If you haven't watched that video, everyone needs to go and watch it. It always cracks me up when I see it.
And the video you're talking about is the video I made of the behind the scenes of the awards ceremony. I'm wearing my tux. I've got beer in a champagne glass. And then the nominees arrive of my category and something quite funny happens and unexpected. And I think the people enjoyed that a little bit. So
it honestly makes me laugh out loud, like genuinely lol.
So a few things. I've got so many questions I've got. So one of the things I really loved as well, just from a business perspective, I thought it was really smart to position you in terms of, in the world of podcasting, get your name out there as like the kind of the go-to person in the podcasting world, especially for the niche that you're going for. Yeah. I also thought it was very clever that you had a category for your participants.
Yeah.
For like all those who actually took your course. Is it your 6 weeks course?
Start your podcast in 6 weeks. So there was an award category purely for people who'd done that.
Student of the Year. That's brilliant. Yeah. That's super smart as well. So you do all these categories. The night goes out. What are some of the emails that you get the next day or in the coming days of the week? Like, tell us a bit more about, like, what are some of those emails or messages that you received?
Yeah, it genuinely makes me get a bit choked up, actually. I got emails from parents of people who'd won awards, which was really lovely. So we had emails from, I know your parents were watching as well, weren't they? I remember seeing that.
Yeah, my family. I had like family and my brother, like in France, they were on the table. They put the phone on the table.
Yeah.
The kids, my nephew and niece, my mom, like, friends, clients, people were joining from everywhere. That's why when the little glitch happened around my award ceremony nomination, people were kind of laughing. I was getting texts from everywhere going, did she just say what I think she said? But anyway, sorry. So you're getting these lovely messages from parents.
Yeah, we got messages from parents saying, we're so proud of her for winning. Thank you so much for doing this. I've seen her confidence increase. Emails from people who were thinking of starting a podcast and they'd voted for their favourite podcast and then they'd come to the awards and they'd realise, actually, this is something I can do. So loads of messages and emails about that. So much support for the event and how much fun it had been and just being involved in it. It was just fantastic. I absolutely loved it. And we're doing it again next year. And hopefully...
I was going to ask, the next question are you going to run it again?
It was always in mind to be an annual event. So yeah, okay. I mean, it's on my website now that, you know, it's going to be next year. So absolutely.
Have you created a waiting list? Is there a waiting list on your website?
People can
go there and check it out. So what would you want to say to someone who's maybe launching a podcast? So there's two things I want to ask you. Like, one of them is, so they've launched a podcast, maybe they've been going it for a few months, maybe a few years, and they're thinking about entering your podcast awards next year, but they're scared. They've got fear, they've got doubts. Like, what do you want to tell them?
Do you know what? I think the first thing is, what have you got to lose? You know, what the heck have you got to lose? You started this podcast for a reason. And it was because, if you have a business podcast, you did it because you wanted to grow your audience. You wanted to increase your credibility. And why on earth wouldn't you enter into an award to show how amazing you are? Now, it might feel really weird thinking, well, I'm not amazing. You are amazing. You're out there doing something that not many people do.
Yeah.
You really are.
Yeah,
give it a go. Get somebody to nominate you if you feel uncomfortable nominating yourself as well.
Yes.
We had that happen quite a lot. But, you need to be celebrated. And the people who are helping you behind the scenes, perhaps, they need to be celebrated. So think of it almost as a win for the people who are listening to your podcast and helping you put it out there. Just do it. Have a go and get yourself out there.
And what do you want to tell them, even if they don't get shortlisted, even if they don't win, what do you want to tell them about that?
The experience of actually entering is an interesting one, and it builds your confidence. More and more that you get yourself out there and push yourself forward for things like this, the easier it becomes next time. We all know the first time we do anything always feels really awkward, but the next time it's going to feel that much better. So even if you don't win, you're still going to be listened to by all of the judges. You're going to be listened to by people in the awards. You're still getting more people listening to your podcast. And it's going to do wonders for your confidence for the next time you go for an award.
It's
great to put on social media as well. I've entered this award. Come and get behind me. Listen to the podcast and let me know what you think.
We'll get back to our conversation in just 1 minute. I really want to emphasize the power of the five principles of becoming the spotlight in your industry that I've identified over the years of dissecting and distilling the conversations I've had with some of the most inspiring and purpose-driven people who've defined success on their own terms. And I used to only make this available to my private clients and my community and my group coaching, etc. programs, but I'm now making that available to you because I really believe that if you can see where the problem is, you can improve it. So if you want to benchmark and see your ability to stand out and make an impact with your story, your message and mission, head over to www.becomethespotlight.com and fill out the quick questions. It'll take you 3 minutes. It's free and it's going to give you a snapshot overview of where you are in your business and your ability to influence, impact those who matter most to you. It's free. It takes under 3 minutes and it's available at www.becomethespotlight.com. Now let's get back to that conversation. Because you also have an audience choice award, which basically means even if you haven't been shortlisted, you can still try and galvanize your audience and community to get behind you and support your show. And that's also another exciting opportunity to connect and reach out and say, hey, if you've enjoyed the show for whatever reason, I'd love your support. Go and vote. And also from a business perspective, it's a great way of growing your community, growing your audience. So it's just I just think that was super small all around. Now, for someone who's thinking about launching a podcast, but who's still on the fence.
Yeah.
What do you want to tell them?
Well, there's so many things I want to tell them. But one of the biggest ones is I think a lot of people think that podcasts are everywhere right now. And they're genuinely not. So I've talked about this statistic a few times, but there are over 32.5 million YouTube channels. There are still it's just gone over 2 million over the last two weekends ago. There's only 2 million podcasts, and actually there's only 600,000 active podcasts. And when I say active podcasts, that's somebody who has put an episode out in the last 30 days. Okay. Mm-hmm. So just over 600,000 active podcasts. There is still masses of land to grab in the podcasting world. Yeah. There's so much space for new podcasters to get seen and heard and build their audience, their credibility, their expert status. And you know what? It's a lot easier than people think. You know, it's a lot easier to speak into a microphone than have a huge recording studio to do videos all the time and produce 100%. Really highly polished YouTube videos.
Yeah, so, I think that's why Clubhouse had such a high spike when it started off, because it gave a platform for people who may not want to be the whole look at me kind of vanity metric of certain social media without needing to mention them Instagram and you know, but it's true, and so people had that kind of voice. I think podcast gives an opportunity for people who might consider them a bit more introvert or less extrovert or just less comfortable being in front of the camera, and I really want to honor what you're saying, because that is exactly right. And one of the reasons why we're also talking today, and which I'm really excited to reveal very soon, is that you also host a Facebook group called Podcasting for Business Community. Yeah. And am I right in saying that that's blown out? Because like when I first joined, I don't remember the numbers, but I just looked today and you had 3,900 members on your group as of today of the recording. I'm sure that was not the number when I joined back in December, November.
The awards massively helped in terms of that, definitely.
But I've been impressed. The reason why I'm saying, I've been impressive, like the quality of the conversations, the quality of the questions, you showing up with your content. It's really funny. You put pictures of your dogs, or because you've got like five animals around the house, right?
Got a zoo, pretty much. We've got so many.
Yeah, and so like I just really loved your vibe, and tell a bit more about like what has that been like to kind of create this community on Facebook, and why is there still a space for people to join a Facebook community and an online community to get help, support and share their wins?
I think there are so many, you know, Facebook groups out there that, you know, the engagement isn't great, or people are allowed to just promote left, right and centre, and it ends up being a bit of a Wild West situation. Mm. I think the groups that are doing well is where the people who run them value community above all else. That's one of my biggest values, definitely, is that community side. You know, having a sort of safe space for people to come to. So in podcasting, you and I both know it's really tough to, you know, when you first get started, it's an absolute minefield. You know, you think there's so many places you could get information about it. So I wanted to create this safe space for people to come and ask what they perceive to be the silly questions and not feel silly for asking them.
Yeah.
To come along and, you know, just be around people who are in the same situation as them, people who are starting a podcast, already have one, and just have a bit of fun there. Just be ourselves and learn from each other. That's what I 100%. Wanted to create.
Give me one sec. I've dropped my headphone.
Yeah, sure. I saw it pop out.
I tried to smoothly grab it with my foot.
You tried to be very smooth, but it didn't work.
I know, it was totally failed. but you know what are some of the most common questions you get? Like, what are some of the common questions that you get on Facebook, and someone who's joining your Facebook community, what can they expect, the kind of level of interaction with others, and what's kind of some of the guidelines that you want to give them?
So two different questions, but the first one, the biggest questions I get asked about podcasting is always the question that I wish they wouldn't ask, which is, what's the microphone I should use for podcasting? And it's not about the flipping microphone, is it? I mean, clearly you need a good one, but it's not about that. So I get asked 100%. About the tech all the time. You know, what should I use? How much should I spend? I get asked about content. I get asked about how much time it takes, how much money it costs, all that stuff. How do you make money from a podcast? Mm-hmm. All of those things. And I guess in terms of what you can expect in the group, it's the support for all of those things. But it's beyond that. It's the support for the things that you don't know yet.
Yeah.
It's the stuff that you haven't really thought about yet, you know, thinking about the purpose behind your podcast and so on, and who it's for and what you're actually going to talk about 100%. And having fun.
And do you do Facebook Lives and stuff like that?
Lives. We do that. We have guest experts. We have all sorts of things. I've got some more community stuff coming up over the next few months. It's been all about the awards over Christmas. And then in the first quarter this year, I'm building something exciting behind the scenes. So there's been a lot of focus on that as well.
Okay.
But there's a lot of guest experts planned over the next few weeks and months as well. Cool. So
that's exciting. So we've talked about that part of the business, which I think is amazing. Mm. But you also have a part of it. So you help people launch their podcasts,
mm-hmm.
right? So tell us a bit more about that. So what kind of products do you have? Do you have accelerators? Do you have group coaching programs, one-to-one? Like how do you structure your business around that?
Yeah. So I've got a group coaching program, which is the Start Your Podcast in 6 Weeks, which we're running at the moment.
Yes.
And we only do that once a year now. So that's just once a year. But outside of that, we run podcast in a day sessions. Mm. So we teach people how to start online.
Yeah.
We run those probably about 9 or 10 times a year. So fairly regularly.
Is that group or is that one-to-one?
It's group, but it's small groups. It's like no more than, say, 6 people at a time on those.
Yep.
So we run those online. Outside of that, we have the agency, as you've mentioned. So the podcast
that's
boutique.
Exciting. I know that's exciting because we talked about it recently. So tell us a bit more about that and why you're excited about it.
Yeah, the podcast boutique. It's essentially, it's rather than you coming to us and somebody's behind the scenes 1 week working on your podcast, then it might be somebody else working on your podcast the following week. It's not a massive, massive agency. I wanted to create that boutique feel. I wanted to create that feel where, you know, you feel really valued as a host. So you, when you work with us, you have your own writer, you have your own editor, you have your own designer. They create your artwork. They write your show notes. They get to know your voice. So they do all of it behind the scenes. And it's great.
I was going to say, that is the biggest question I get from people.
Yeah.
Is like, do you know an editor? Do you know a producer? Do you know a copywriter? So what you're saying is basically people can get in touch with you.
Yeah.
And through your agency, they can say, look, I've got a show. I just want to do the minimum investment is, you know, and so you can take that show and say, look, you just send us, all you got to do is press record.
Yes.
And then you take care of the rest, right? Is 100%. That kind of,
All they have to do, we do everything apart from speaking to the microphone. That's what we say. Yeah. do everything for you.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Love it. So you even upload it, right? So like you help them distribute it.
Yeah.
Love it. Do all that stuff. So look, hopefully people by now can get a bit of a sense of who you are. And the reason why we're here today as well is, and this feels all kinds of weird for me. I've got to be honest, because we've had a chat over the last few weeks around this, so I first started teaching people how to launch podcasts back in 2016, 2017, right? Mm-hmm. I remember that because very much like you, I was running this podcast back in 2015. I launched The Unconventionist, and everybody kept asking the same questions. What kind of microphone should I get? And how do you get it? What platform? And, you know, what's the hosting platform? And I was just like, oh, bloody hell. I kept on saying it. So I actually approached, so I looked at like a strategic partnership model. So I looked at General Assembly and I said to General Assembly, hey, you've got like a massive community. Mm-hmm. I've got expertise and skills on this. Like, why about we launch a podcast on podcasting? And they hadn't done any. And they're like, oh, yeah, that's a good idea. So I started running my evening workshops. The first workshop we had like 8 people, maybe 10, whatever. And then it just grew and grew and grew. And over the course of a few years, I would do this pretty much like every couple of times a month. And it was just filling out, right? And then I did my online program. And I had about 500 students come through the program. And this is really weird to say out loud, but you know me now, hopefully a bit better. And the Unconventionist has always been about being honest, transparent, and real. And if I'm going to be honoring the values of what I stand for as a business, as a show, then I've got to mirror that in my life and in my actions.
Mm.
And I just came to a point where it just didn't feel like it was the thing that was calling me. And it wasn't the thing where I could add the most value. Sure, I love still helping people get over their fears and putting themselves out there. Mm. But that was the essence of what I loved about the program. Yeah. The rest of it wasn't really for me. Like I'd get all these questions about community and hosting and podcasting. And you said you love the text. I hate the tech side.
Oh, I love it.
Right? I know, but but that's what I'm saying. And so I started having this idea and people kept on putting in my mind, like maybe you should think about maybe dropping this. And I was so tightly attached to it.
Yeah.
Because for so many years, and I've got like, you know, hundreds of participants and I grew up a Facebook group and all this kind of stuff. And then I thought, okay, so if I'm going to do this, then I want to make sure I can pass on everyone I've had the honor and privilege to work with to somebody who I trust and care and know that could take good care of them. So I actually joined a few different podcasting Facebook groups, and just to kind of like a bit like almost like a secret consumer kind of thing, you know, just trying to understand what it was like.
Yeah, doing due diligence.
Yeah, and that's why I reached out to you, because I thought, I actually thought that I loved your tone, I loved your intention, I thought you came from a really good place, big-hearted, kind of community service first, and I thought, okay, well, if I'm going to do this, then Lindsay's the kind of partner I want to partner up with. And so I reached out to you. We had a conversation, and you were really graceful. And you were like, "Oh, I'd be an honor. I'd love to receive your students." So we're also here to announce that as of this conversation moving forward, I am going to be no longer running my Podcast Revolution program and community, and I'm actually going to be passing on everybody who wishes, because not everyone, no one's forced to, but everybody who wishes to continue the podcasting journey and to go and join you. I'm going to take a breath, because that was
I can feel it, the emotion. It's hard. Yeah. These are people you've spent a long time with, and you've built this community.
Yeah,
it's hard.
And it is, but and you know what it is, it also feels good. Like, it really feels good to do this now, to do this with you. And I feel like that's why I said to you, let's jump on a conversation so people get to know you, because I wanted people to understand why I picked you, why I decided to go with you, because I really loved your style and vibe, and people can go and continue their journey. And if they've got questions on your Facebook, hopefully they can ask them and people can jump in and help out. What do you want to speak to what I just said? I'm going to take a pause just to collect my thoughts.
Yeah, you sort of have a breather for a moment. So I was just so happy that, you know, you were able to trust me with, because I know, because I said earlier, community is one of my biggest values. So I understood the, you know, how big that was for you to do, and how difficult that could be. So I'm honoured to look after anybody who would like to come over into our community. You'll be well looked after. We're going to support you. We've got community managers in there who make sure that there is no nonsense that happens in there. You know, there's none of this online trolling, bullying, all that stuff. It's a great, safe community, and we look out for each other.
Yeah.
So I'm really happy to invite everybody from Mark's community over, and you'll be well looked after.
No, love
Don't
it.
Worry,
I
Mark.
Love it. No, I'm not. And that's why, like, it just feels right. Like, it really does, because I was holding on to it so tightly. And I think the problem was I didn't have a contingency plan for the people I care about. Because exactly what you said, I just deeply cared about these people. And I know it's silly, because ultimately, I'm sure nobody would care that much if I said, "Hey, guys, okay, bye." But I felt like I'm letting them down. You know, I want to make sure that they know where to go, and to know that they can go and be part of this community now, and, you know, join you in your mission to help people get their podcasts out there, to win awards, to get grow the business. So deep gratitude and heartfelt thanks for being able to receive this kind of gift and do what you can to take care of them. So that's exciting. That's really exciting. People have got any questions, I'm sure they can get in touch with us and ask us. But what's next for you now? Like, I'm just curious, because you said that the biggest shift for you was around you were going to have this, like, you know, consultant and happy to work for myself. Suddenly, boom, I've got a team now. I've got, like, humans that are responsible for, and I've got, like, award ceremonies. I've got this big product that I'm working in the background. So what's next for you?
So I've just taken on my first full-time permanent employees as well, which is a big, big step. Because up until now, I've been working with contractors and consultants and so on.
Yes, that's what I've been doing,
People who are full-time working in the business. So that's really exciting. That's happening. Because the aim is that we're going to be scaling the agency, still keeping that boutique feel. I'm very, you know, I really want people to have that one-to-one support. So we'll be scaling that side of the business. And I'm writing my book. One of the reasons that I'm scaling that and getting employees to come on is so that I get some time to write the book. And the
congratulations,
book is,
that's exciting.
Thank you. Yeah.
Can you say what the book is about?
It's been coming for a while, but because I've been so in the business and scaling it to this point, it just hasn't been the priority. So it's about courage. It's about taking those steps. It's about moving on. And the big theme throughout it is around potential and fulfilling your potential. So that's coming. So I'm doing that.
What's the date? Let's get you on the hook. What's the commitment?
Oh, goodness.
When are you looking to get this book out?
So I am told my first draft needs to be finished by July. That will happen. So it's probably going to be early 2022 when it comes out.
Okay, great. Can I give you a piece of advice that was given to me that helped me
Please
a lot?
Do.
I've got it still in my window and I'm going to read it out. You have the permission to write a really shitty draft.
Oh, I know. It's going to be terrible.
But no,
people
but
keep telling me this.
I'm telling you this because I didn't viscerally understand what that meant until I did, and then it clicked.
Yeah.
The reason why I was procrastinating, not committing to writing and not sitting my ass on the chair was because I was afraid of that, and I was afraid of not being okay with it. But then when an author said to me, "You have the permission to write a really shitty draft.
Yeah, it's
that
true.
Freed it up. And it just enabled me to just go, who gives a shit about what this draft is?
Yeah, it's almost just get it out of your head onto paper.
Yes, and then Tucker Max calls it vomit. Your vomit draft. That's what they call it. Just like splurge it out. Oh my God, that's exciting. That's really exciting though.
It's really exciting.
And so let's loop back to the beginning of the conversation where you were in HR. You felt it was the time for you to give up. Do you regret that decision? The same question you asked your husband.
Oh my goodness, no. Yeah, I think it's so funny that you just use the term let's loop back, because that's what I feel I've done. It's like I started, my purpose was there all along, but I chose the vehicle of being in HR and training to sort of get to my purpose, but that wasn't the right tool, wasn't the right way to get there. So I've used everything I've learned, all the years of experience, and used it in a different way. And I'm looping back to what my true purpose is, and that is helping people to live up to their potential, use their voice, get out there, be seen, be noticed, be heard.
Yes.
And I think,
you know, as you said that, like, that's why we're aligned, because as you said, they're like, yeah, that's mine. Like, I'm all about that too.
Yeah.
Right. So that's, you know, that's the amazing thing about when you start putting yourself out there, start following your purpose, you start meeting other people on that journey. It's almost wild animals running in the fields, kind of go, hey, you're up there too, cool, let's go, let's run towards that, you know, like, how can we help each other? So where can people find out more about you, people who want to find out more about how to get involved, or whether that's your website, products, Facebook, what's the best place to go?
Well, the community is podcasting for business community. I have a podcast by the same name. I'm also, if you want to email me, if there's anybody here who's thinking, oh, what's this all about? Do I feel comfortable with this? Please reach out to me and the team. That's lindsayann.com. Lots of information on there too.
Love it. So I'm going to ask you the final question that I ask all my guests on the show, because I think that's only natural. But before that, I want to acknowledge you. I want to say thank you for creating a community for people to feel seen, heard, and supported. Who might have felt left out in some other conventional format or other business strategy, like to give them a voice and a platform. Generally, thank you for that, because I know that the ripple effect is going to be huge on their communities, on their families, on their kids, and on their audience. So thank you. That's what I generally want to say. And the final question for you is, what does being unconventional mean to you?
To me, it's about being honest with yourself about who you really are. And if that is deemed to be unconventional, then so be it. Who is anybody else to decide what is unconventional and what isn't? So only you can be you. That's what I would say.
Love it.
Short and sweet.
Short and sweet. Love it, Lindsay. Thank you so much for your time. And I'm very excited about the next chapter and how we can support each other, and also how our community is going to be able to come and join yours and have even a more fuel to propel them on their podcasting journey. So deep thanks.
Thank you so much for having me.
There you have it, folks. I hope you enjoyed today's conversation as much as I did. It felt definitely raw and emotional to make that announcement publicly. But this is something that we're all going to go through, and that I'm going to go through, and that you're going to go through in some way, shape, or form. And that is the importance of letting go and releasing things. Like, I don't know if you can see behind me there, I've got a poster from Hewitt Denham that says, do one thing. Well, it's enough. That was a gift from my partner for Christmas. And it's really starting to sink in. And so I'm having to let go of all the things that I'm not going to be focusing on. And helping people launch and build podcasts is one of those things. As much as it's been an incredible honor and privilege over the last 4 years and a bit to help over 500 people launch their podcasts, it's time for me to realize that that is not where I can bring the most value and where I can be of most service. Lindsay Gold and her agency absolutely are. And so I'm pointing everyone towards them now, which feels very exciting and freeing in some way as well. Releasing of the guilt and the shame and the wrestling around it, and just purely knowing that my community is going to be taken care of, and that anybody who's looking for tips, I can point them to a clear direction now. So where else in your life are you holding back on letting go? Is there something that you know you need to be releasing, whether that maybe it's a relationship or a job or a business or something that's no longer serving you or that you're no longer serving? Let me know in the comments below. I really want to hear from you, and I want to hear about where you are on your journey while you're wrestling with that. And I'll report back on how that feels, maybe 6 months from now, 12 months from now, who knows. But for the moment, I'm deeply grateful for Lindsay and for all of you who've trusted me with your patience and your trust over the years of helping you launch a podcast. If you're listening or watching to this and you haven't got in touch with me, please do so. If you have taken one of my courses, whether that was in person or online, and as a result you've launched a podcast or I've helped you shape your podcast over the years because you took the course, please let me know. I've got this dream fantasy of having a page on my website where I put all the graduates over the years that I've helped to put a spotlight on you as you become the spotlight in your industry with your podcast. So if that's the case, then please get in touch via website, and I really look forward to hosting you on that page and helping you promote your show. But until then, remember, your story matters, your message has value, and the world needs to hear your story, because someone somewhere woke up this morning needing to hear it to not feel alone and have hope, which is the only commodity that we should be selling around these days, and is one of the most powerful and potent transformational powers you can give to someone else. I appreciate you. I'll see you next time. Bye for now. Today's episode was brought to you by Become the Spotlight. If you're in business and you want to make a difference and make a bigger impact, you're going to have to learn how to engage and enroll your ideal audience. It turns out there are 5 principles that I've identified that every single most inspiring individual that's come on the podcast has. And you can have that too. You can figure out where you stand and how you benchmark according to these 5 principles for free. And it takes 3 minutes. And you can do that at www.becomethespotlight.com, where you're going to get an insight report and some steps that you can take to improve your score and improve your ability to stand out and make a difference with your story, your message, and your mission. I can't wait to see what score you get. Once you go through the score, let me know and tag me into social media, send me a DM. I really can't wait to see what you get. And more importantly, let's see what we can do to help you get an even higher number. I'll see you in there.